Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. We got an interesting co-host today. We have Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio filling in today for Butch Paul, and who would normally be here for this hour. And good news, I heard Butch Paul was released from the hospital today.
Good.
So, you know, lots of good prayers out there is getting him out of the hospital nice and early in a quicker recovery. So, yes, good news there. So, Beth Ann and myself, we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, January 20th, 2021, and we also have, for the first segment of the program, as always, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today, right after the market report. So, Beth, I want to thank you for joining me for this hour today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for asking.
Oh, well, it's the two.
The two with the three, actually. It's the three
well,
right now.
Now it's the three for the first segment. So yes, thank you for joining me. And the market report today, we had some, gold had a nice day today. It was up $30, $1,870. Silver was up 63 cents at $25.90. Platinum was up $26 at $1,114. Palladium was up $22, $2,412. So all the metals were positive today, and of course that leads me to believe that we've had a weaker dollar today. And, you know, the markets have been fairly quiet. You know, the paper markets have been up strong, you know, based on, you know, stimulus coming out of the White House, especially with this administration. And, of course, you know, you're talking trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. So, yeah, we're going to have a good day in gold today. And I think it is off to the moon. The USDX today, yeah, it was up 0.01, but it was negative most of the day at 90.51. Crude oil was up 30 cents at $53.28. The paper markets, it was over 300. Looks like it settled down a little bit, 219 to the upside. Well, they just changed it on me, 257, 31,188. The NASDAQ was up 260, almost 2%, 13,457. And the S&P was up 52, 3,851. The 10-year yield stayed pretty much the same, 1.09%. And Hong Kong was up 1% overnight. Everything else was fairly flat, a little positive and negative across the board. So, but nothing to, you know, be concerned about. Bitcoin was down another 5% today. So with that, we're going to get the program started right away with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Melody. And hello, Beth Ann.
Hi. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing well. Hope you are. We're going to be talking about some other COVID inhibitors. We did a show with you, Melody, recently where there was over 20 different therapeutic drugs already approved by the FDA that are effective against the COVID virus. But now we have a new one. So we're going to talk about that one. So it kind of takes the fear away from a lot of people with the virus, this unknown novel virus, when, you know, there's already some medications that can treat it. Just like if you went to the doctor to get a medication for a sinus infection, you went home with a prescription for amoxicillin. So and that's pretty much how India is treating it. You know, it's treatment at home for COVID, and they're doing pretty well over there. So we're going to look at this new study out of Australia, where they found an FDA-approved medication that kills COVID virus. So we're going to check this out. This was actually a 2016 study. It was on COVID. It was published in Science Direct. And the research was from Monash University of Australia. And it was regarding an anti-parasite therapeutic drug. They said that kills the COVID virus very quickly. So the drug is called ivermectin. And it's been on the market since 1981. It's also been given to people with weak immune systems to help them out, and also for people dealing with parasites. So ivermectin has been used to treat parasites like lungworm, mites, lice, gastrointestinal roundworms, fleas, and even ticks. And it's originally given to cattle and other pets, but then later it did get approved for use in humans, and also it's been used for tropical diseases as well. Now, other uses for the medication, they've also given it to HIV patients and people with dengue fever. So it's a one-time treatment drug, so you only have to take it once. And it works by paralyzing parasites, and for some reason it blocks the COVID virus from replicating, so it can't continue to make you sick. Some of the side effects, though, on this drug are joint pain, swollen lymph nodes, eye swelling, redness and pain, weakness, vision changes, rash and itching, fever, dizziness, chest pain, fast heartbeat, confusion, seizures and loss of consciousness, allergic reactions, and trouble breathing with swollen tongue and face. So, you know, it's a drug, and most drugs don't come with, I guess, risk-free issues. So the list of side effects aren't as life-threatening, though, as the COVID vaccines, yet there is a risk with all the prescribed medications. Let me read you this quote from Science Direct. They say several clinical trials are now underway to test various therapies worldwide for treating COVID-19. Ivermectin is an FDA-approved antiparasitic drug and previously shown to have broad-spectrum antiviral activity in vitro, which means in the lab in a culture dish, and it's an inhibitor to the COVID-19 virus. What I found was interesting is they also, Dr. Kelly Wagstaff, also with the University of Australia, she says this drug will kill the COVID virus in 48 hours. I think that's pretty pretty impressive, yeah. So other study results, Australian researchers did state that this RNA virus COVID, that's what it is, when they put it in the laboratory in vitro, in a petri dish, the ivermectin did kill the virus within 48 hours at a 99.8% reduction. So that means it can't replicate. They also tested it on SARS-CoV number 2. It did the same thing. But here's what's interesting. You know, they go out and they harvest viruses all the time. Now, November 2015, I was telling people scientists were out hunting for viruses in bat caves. They were looking for viruses for pandemics from bats, and this is what COVID is. This is what I said in 2015. University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill stated they were identifying types of SARS viruses that infects bats and can now threaten the lives of humans. This new coronavirus is called SHCO14-COV, and it was discovered in Chinese horseshoe bats. And of course, the official statement is that the virus mutated and was able to jump the gap from bats to humans, and they are already suggesting a vaccine be made for this virus to ward off a pandemic. So I think we just need to be discerning between emerging diseases and engineered ones. Okay, it takes millennia. It takes thousands of years for a virus to come and from an animal zoonotic realm, a species of animals, and then jump the gap to humans. So I think a lot of this is getting a little help in the laboratory. So we've experienced a lot of animal viruses. We've got animal viruses from horses, pigs, bats, camels, and other animals made through science in order to infect humans. They know how to turn proteins on and off with gene editing now to make that evolution gap, within just a few short years. So we call them the virus hunters. I don't know if you've heard of them. This was a Scientific American or a journal article published in 2017. They did a piece on these scientists from the Democratic Republic of Congo. They teamed up with other researchers to hunt for deadly viruses. So the hybrid language of the virus hunters is quite profound. There was a couple on the team from the Institute of the National de Rocher Biomedical in Kinshasa, and they were known as bat whisperers. Can you believe that? So they know that bats can have some very dangerous viruses. They harbor many different viruses. So they were, all these researchers, these virus hunters, they were armed with a grant of $100 million to explore the viral possibilities over a 5-year hunt. So this type of research has led to a massive database of searchable zoonotic plagues all ready to emerge at the next pandemic. Now, here's a nice statement before the pandemic even existed. They said this: big data virology is on the horizon, and we try to develop vaccines ahead of time to stop the spread. So, and it's been said that the COVID-19 virus wasn't a vaccine, wasn't just made in the last year. They've been developing it over a series of years. And if that's the case, why is it so terrible? Why are people having anaphylactic shock and dying from it? So the world's told this is all to happen in order to make the world safer. But that's not entirely accurate, because nobody out there is going to put up $100 million just to make the world safer. Okay, they put up $100 million to make a profit off of future disease outbreaks. That's where that's coming from. And here's something interesting. This was from one of the virus hunters in the Democratic Republic of Congo. His name is Zazi Yelgunga, and he says, "We are not concerned. We hear of this. These scientists are looking for microbes that can give disease. We're not seeing that. There's no proof of that, and we have no concern." So they've heard that too, that they are digging up these diseases to give people disease. See, but hey, it's not over. When they've turned over every rock, when they canvassed every cave and mountaintop, guess where they're going next? Take a guess.
You tell us.
Oh, well, they're going to the ocean. Yeah. Yeah, so now, according to the Scientist publication, March 2020, research into viral harvesting has now turned to the oceans. And according to the publication, they said researchers discovered the largest virus in the oceans. So these researchers are called microbial ecologists, and they are searching the Atlantic Ocean to collect unicellular eukaryotes and other types of single-cell genome sequencing organisms. And they have already harvested a bacteria associated with a bunch of microbes in the Pacific Ocean. The problem is, these, when they harvest out there and they kind of want to put these, you know, little microbes in a bottle and take them on land, they don't last very long. So they have to move the lab offshore, so it has to be on the ship itself. So they have these floating laboratories now. And they weren't really, you know, coming up with much luck. They were looking for viruses until one day someone said, "Hey, let's freeze the ocean water." And once they did that, they were able to see viruses that they didn't discover before. So the virus that they did discover is one of the largest known viruses, because viruses tend to be really tiny, whereas bacterial pathogens are large. But this one's the largest virus they've ever seen from the ocean. And they call it a predatory protist, and it devours nutrients by digesting the host organism. So I say to myself, that already doesn't sound good, you know, because just think of this. If they made it to infect humans and it got into your digestive tract, think about it. It could digest your intestines.
Mm.
So here's a quote from that article. Alexandra Warden, she's a microbiologist, ecologist, she says, "By looking for the unusual microbial candidates, we initially missed that there were three quite unique and beautiful viruses that we were able to assemble." Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so
people are...
Well,
then you lied.
Right. So, you know, leave it in the ocean. That's what I'm saying. Don't take it home.
The deep blue sea, yes.
So what the ecologists do next is what they want to learn about this virus genome. They want to know about its proteins. And if anybody's been listening to me, a lot of times in these gene editing of pathogens, if they can switch proteins on and off, they can switch enzymes on and off, they can control how your body and your immune system reacts to a pathogen now, just by manipulating and making it what nature didn't. So what they're going to do is they're going to look for the proteins in this virus. They already have identified three rhinodopsins, which are light receptors that are on a cellular membrane in this thing. After they get the proteins down, they've identified that, then they're going to go look at the components and see if they can synthesize it, and then they can work a pathway on the components and then, you know, isolate enzymes. And but the challenge now is really how they're going to culture these marine viral cells that tend to not culture well in the laboratory, so they have to get around that hurdle. So, you know, this, you know, you and I, you know, we hear this stuff and we think, you know, this is like something out of a movie. Somebody thought this up. This should have been on Star Trek or something, you know. But what we're witnessing today is that many of the in the scientific world, they're willing to sell new diseases to drug companies, knowing that a vaccine will be developed to supposedly stop a plague, but a plague that is most likely not ever going to happen, especially from the depths of the ocean, is not the interference. It's an interference in man's, you know, evolution, and it's all about pride and greed, is what it is. Because these scientists want to get on the map, they want to get published, they want to get, you know, grant money, you know. So it's really not to make the world safer, you know. It's not.
And you know what? And you know, for a lot of them, it's probably what they want. You know, maybe they're looking to find something good. But all we have to do is look at history, mm-hmm. go back a few years, and that's the problem. You have greed and the pride get in the way, mm-hmm. and the next thing you know, we have these other issues.
Well, and that's the other thing is you could be a low lab tech or a low ecologist, and you can identify and discover something, but then someone up the chain, you know, gets a patent on it and takes it and turns it into a weapon, you know.
So, and then they find themselves at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah. Well, you know, and here's the real
what
thing.
Happens.
This is so profound, because if you look in the New Testament, when Moses was given his farewell speech, he told Israel, he says, if you're good, you have blessings. If you sin, you'll be cursed. And you were afraid, he said, of the plagues of Egypt. But if you're not going to repent and be good, he says, you'll have the plagues of Egypt and all the plagues not listed in this book. So that was very profound, you know, for our age, our time. So, you know, because COVID and SARS and Ebola, they weren't even mentioned then. And here we are with that, plus all these other plagues from Egypt that we have to deal with from time to time in different areas of the globe. So I'm just going to stay with God's good medicine. He said it's here for the service of man, the healing of the nations. God can't lie. And, of course, strong immune systems is part of that, and a lot of his herbs do that. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, get their free catalog, and learn how you can be empowered. That toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Get a free catalog and be empowered. So I just think, I don't know if you heard, 40% of Americans said they're not going to get the COVID vaccine, and globally, 16.4 million said no to it, too.
Well, that number is dropping, though. It was over 60% at one point in time, but so that is dropping. But 40% is a lot of people.
Yeah, you won't have that herd immunity then, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Wendy. We'll see you next week. And 866-229-3663. I'll be back in just a few minutes with my guest host today, Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And again, I'm very pleased and to have, I always enjoy these programs with Beth Ann when she joins me, and when I get a chance to do her program twice monthly, I'm there. And we always have fun.
We do have fun. We do have fun. We did a lot of venting this morning when you were on my show.
We did
a little ranting and a little venting, which is good. It's good. Good therapy for us. I have been watching the news as it's come in this afternoon since we talked this morning, and I've got Liz Cheney's in a little trouble. Now, I spoke at the Republican State Republican Convention. It was actually the county side of it in Wyoming back in June. And nobody really said anything out loud, but in a little circle when people would talk to me, they were real happy with Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney is to them like, and maybe even worse, is like Roy Blunt is to me here in Missouri. And so Liz has taken a lot of heat for what she's done to President Donald Trump. And she's got two people already going to bid for her seat when she comes up for re-election, and they're after her in Wyoming. They are not happy campers with Liz Cheney. But she's the establishment. She is the warmongers' family, and, you know, they profit off of wars, and Donald Trump stopped the wars, and that just can't be. We can't have that. We got to send our children, our young people over there to die so that these people, these old white people, can make money.
I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm no fan of Liz Cheney by any means. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I think, or something like that. But
I think that's,
you know,
a good
she did
thing
what,
in this
but,
case.
But she did what she had the right to do, and she'll have to pay when she does not get reelected. You know, her constituents are up in arms, and this is why it's so important, I think, for this is all we have now is our voice.
Yeah.
Now, so
it's going to be taken away.
Yeah, so we got to use it, you know, as loud as we can, and make sure they know and do not get them elected again.
Absolutely, and they do have a petition going around to remove her. They've got 36,000 votes as of January 20th, which was today, in the state. And, you know, Americans want truth. But we've been denied the truth, not just by the left, but by the people like Liz Cheney, the establishment of the elite warmongers for dollars, you know. For months on end, American cities have burned and businesses have been looted and people have been killed and cops have been demonized for a cause, we were told. This was for a cause and we shouldn't expect it to end. That's what Kamala Harris said. I've got her new name now. She's Kamala. But when a small crowd of maybe two dozen or so, and I'm not saying what they did was right, but when a crowd of two dozen or so break into the people's house, barriers are put up, 25,000 troops plus more are called in, and razor wire fences are put up to keep the people out of the people's house. And that's where we are today in a free America.
But of course, I mean, it was all done by design in order to promote that agenda. And the thing of it is, you know, forget about all the other, you know, 40,000 people that marched peacefully. But you had these, I think it was more than a couple dozen back. But it doesn't matter.
Well, they said 24, 30 people. It wasn't very many compared to it. There was 1 million people there in D.C. Now, you're only hearing tens of thousands or 100,000. But and I never can remember his name, but he was commissioner, police commissioner in New York for a long time. And he was there and spoke. And he said, I don't have an exact count, but he knows crowds. And he said there was 1 million people here. There was close to 1 million people. And if that doesn't scare people, and not you and me, it doesn't scare you and me, but the elite, nothing will. And it did scare them. But I believe, like you said, I think it was a set-up thing. It wasn't enough to get rid of Donald Trump. They've got to completely get rid of him. They don't want him to run again. They don't want him into anything. They want to shut him up. They've threatened him. Mitch McConnell has threatened to indict him if he doesn't stop it. If he doesn't, he threatened him if he would pardon Julian Assange. They don't want the truth to come out. And so they have to silence the truth. They have to silence the people. And that's exactly what they're doing with the censorship. When did you ever, in our lifetime, there's been a lot of, at least in front of the camera, dislike for one president or the other. But when did you ever see the disrespect for the office as it has been with Donald Trump? And it was before he even got in the White House. I mean, it's just been a constant thing.
Well, it is. And I mean, he draws that attention. But again, I said on your program this morning, what bothers me more than anything, I don't care. I mean, I do. We know these politicians. We know what they're going to do, and they are politicians. If they weren't before, they are now.
They're crooks.
But
it is the division
of the people. And that is what's concerning me, because there is so much hatred. And the elite know how to use that to further their agenda. And we know what their agenda is. And we can look at the various sectors in which they use. I mean, look at the blacks are to these Democrats are votes.
Yeah.
And they keep telling them, you know, how bad they have it. And, oh, we're here to help. Ronald Reagan, if the government, you know, the worst thing you can ever hear is the government's here to help. So half of the population think conservatives, like us, are the evilest people. We need to be reprogrammed.
Yeah,
conservatives,
reprogrammed.
The conservatives think that the left, we think they're nuts. And evil.
I read something in the American
How do we
Thinker.
Bring it together, Beth?
I'm not sure. But we got to keep it together. We got to get a grip. And we got to get a grip of reality, which I know you do all the time. But we've got to get a grip of reality. And we got to realize, and the left doesn't get it, because they think we're, you know, they're calling us Trump cults. It's not Trump. Trump's just a spokesperson. But America has, this is from the American Thinker, and I won't read it all, I won't do that to you, but he's talking about how we should have seen this coming. He says, America, a country of victorious socialism. And he was saying how proud Lenin would be of what we accomplished in a peaceful manner that they couldn't do with troops on the ground. And that's to take over the people. And what we have now is exactly, he says, we don't have Orwell's 1984, it's Soviet Union's 1937. He says it's returned from hereafter with the human race. There will be no gulag. Millions of people will not be executed. The dissidents will be dealt with humanely. They will be purged from the universities, media, government, jobs, and major corporations. He says that the Bolsheviks' motto, who does not work does not eat, will be replaced to for who does not obey does not eat. And what are we seeing right now with the media blackout or censorship? And now they're saying you can't work here anymore in this university because you supported Donald Trump. Well, you know, it's like the old cowboy movies. I'll see to it you never work in this town again.
Yeah.
Then they're going to starve them out. They're going to starve the American people out. Now, I don't think they're going to get rid of Fox because, you know, they got to have some pretense going or the people will get too wise. But this is a good article, and I know you read The American Thinker sometimes, and it's by Alex Markowski.
Mm. Very good.
But it's really a great article, and he explains just exactly what's going on. And in the very last, when you ask me, what do we do? In the very last, he says, heartbreakingly, Americans have watered down their genes and we're not able to keep it, meaning our republic. In Franklin's famous phrase, American idealism is now bankrupt and in decline. The foundation of our democracy is crumbling, and our institutions and guiding principles are falling apart. Our republic, as conceived by the founding fathers, is now a phantasm, and a blanket of tyranny and fanatism is covering America. It's
That's why you and I
feel the way we do. We talked about that this morning on my show.
The sad thing, Beth, is half the people don't realize it. They don't have a clue.
You know,
they don't know what they've lost.
I don't think it's half.
Promised. Pardon?
I think we're divided, but I don't think it's 50-50.
Oh,
I really don't. We have a lot of Americans that don't even vote, and it's not the homeless. We have because I think they got their votes. But we have a lot of Americans that don't bother to go to the polls. 330 million Americans. And I think this was the biggest turnout ever, but we know a lot of them weren't real votes on the one side. They were dead people. They were voting twice. They were outsiders, made-up people. I don't think it's half. I think we're greatly divided, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's half. But it's still a division that is visceral, and the media and the left have to keep it that way. They have to keep it as ugly as possible to keep control, because their policies won't.
Well, I hope you're right about that. The only reason I say 50% is because half the population, 50%, gets a check from government.
And
that's how I kind of do the math.
You made a comment a few months back on my show about, and maybe it was last year, about we already have bread lines. It's called welfare. Mm-hmm. Well, the war on poverty has been successful. It's a war for poverty, not against poverty.
It's true.
And when Lyndon B. Johnson decided we'd just do all this welfare, he made the comment, and they ignore that. They'll be voting for us the rest of their lives because they depend on us. So it's just a new form of slavery. And many of the blacks are getting wise to that. And
they
voted for Trump this time.
I hope.
Well, he had more than
until you start floating around reparations in front of many.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, I wonder when they'll figure out that Kamala Harris's ancestry to slave owners.
Yeah.
they
won't believe that. That's a conspiracy theory, Beth.
Yeah.
You know that.
No, it's truth. Her father said it.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm just saying what they're going to say, what the other side says. You know, they'll say it's a conspiracy theory. But yep, here we are. And you know, I'm going to go back to this for a little bit before we head into a break here.
Okay.
This administration is inheriting a mountain of U.S. debt. I mean, it exceeds 27 trillion. The U.S. has a debt to GDP ratio of 130%. And to put that into a little bit of perspective, that's kind of where Greece was when that country blew up back in 2010. Of course, we're not Greece. We can do a little bit. They've been, you know, a little more powerful and have a little more structure in order to, you know, take us a little bit further. But this administration, I mean, it's going to continue to be more debt. The largest fiscal stimulus program in history. He's already proposed the new stimulus program of $2 trillion, an infrastructure program of $2 plus trillion. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, she stated that she thinks climate change is an existential threat. And she's going to use policy measures to fight it. Her policy measure is being Treasury Secretary is money. So where is this heading at? You know, do we come together as a people when this financial bubble breaks? Will they finally be pointing? You know, I said it would be war that would bring us together. That maybe we would forget or at least put aside and it would bring us together. Or is it just the financial collapse that will make wake people up? And seeing what these politicians have done along with Wall Street and multinational corporations, what they've done to milk the American people and put us in this position in order to steal our liberties and our freedoms.
And that's exactly what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sat back and let them. Because you've been talking about this for a long time, and you never gave a date, so you never made a prediction to be criticized for. You just said it can't go on, and you're right, because it can't. There's going to be some time, somewhere, there's going to be that final straw on the $1 trillion debt that's going to break it. It has to.
It has to. And you know what? We always look for that, you know, black swan. Could have been the virus.
We still have
millions of people. Now, once the moratorium expires at the end of January, of course, they're trying to extend it to September. Or did they extend
September.
It?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's going to happen afterwards? Who gets to pay for all that money?
Well, it's not going to be the jobs that people aren't going to have anymore because they've kicked us all out of our jobs. The Americans are hurting. You know, they just thought they had a little glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel because things were starting to open up. And then we get this pandemic, and they shut it down for 15 days just to keep sure that the hospitals weren't overrun and da-da-da. Next thing you know, it's a month, and it's 2 months. And then some states still haven't opened up.
Hey, I hear the music, Beth. We'll be heading into a break right now. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom here with Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
But 74 million votes is a lot. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio. We were talking about debt, and we were talking about just so many things, whether Donald Trump...
What deep doo-doo we're in.
What deep doo-doo we are in. We are. And the giddiness...
Yeah.
That you read in all these comments from the other side, and we always knew they hated Trump. They hate us.
Yeah.
But they're
it's
still
us they hate.
Their comments are like, "Yay, hallelujah. We're going in."
Yeah, I think Joy Bizarre said something about I hope the door hits them on their way out. Every one of them. They can't stand Melania because she has an accent. This is the tolerant side here. And you know, the truth is she's wiser, she's smarter, she can speak six languages, she has more grace than any of them, and they can't stand it.
I know.
They just can't stand it. But back on the economy, with all the things that they want to do for us because they care about the American people, the minimum wage mandate, I mentioned this to you this morning, that in Biden's pandemic relief plan, it's estimated to wipe out 1.3 million jobs. Now, really, I thought it'd take out more than that. But it's a $15 minimum wage, which I have always said, don't be fooled. It's not a minimum wage. They want to make that eventually an equality wage.
Yeah,
and if you think you're making more than that and you think you're worth it, well, you just watch it because you will be getting the shaft. And one day with socialism, because that's the way it is, everybody makes the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
And it tears down a country and a nation. It tears down the people. There's no incentive to work. There's no incentive to produce. They just sit back from day to day and nothing good happens. And eventually it's done. I mean, look at Venezuela. Look at some of the others. I mean, you mentioned the debt in Greece. But hey, we're not Greece. Well, your government
the outcome
now
is
will
the same.
Spy on you. They will take your records. And they can frame you. If they can frame a president of the United States who's a billionaire, he has plenty of money, they can frame you.
Yep.
And that's where we are.
And I have my personal opinion on what happened on the 6th, and you know, but if we go back.
But you have that opinion because we're never told the truth of anything. So that leaves us only to guess.
But I do read and I can hear what people say.
Yes.
And, you know, there wasn't going to be, in my view, there wasn't going to be a changeover. I mean, Donald Trump did not have a second election. Do I want to find out and allow the investigation into the fraud and everything? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it wasn't going to happen.
No.
Did I want it to happen?
Yes.
Was it going to? No.
Right.
It just wasn't, because this is the world we live. We talk about how much fraud they put on us, the lies, the deceit. So they weren't going to allow that to happen. And then they had to prove it with, you know, what we saw today with 25,000 troops in D.C.
guarding how many people?
Along with how many police officers from around the country?
Yeah.
My area sent 40. This small area, this county, Worcester County.
They have 40. More there than they had in Afghanistan.
Yeah. But that's just the troops. I'm talking about the additional police officers that were sent.
I know, but just the troops, they've got more. And yes, they added additional.
I know. So how many was there? 50,000?
I don't know.
You got to be kidding me. 50,000 people?
And the razor wire fences to keep people in or out of the Capitol building.
What country do we live in?
Yeah, free America with a K.
Yeah.
It's but hopefully it's waking people up. I hope it's not too late.
I
don't have a lot of hope in that, but I have to hang on to that. I will not stop fighting. I know you will not stop fighting. Will not stop trying to educate and help people to prepare for whatever is down the road, hoping that what's down the road we can, what do they say, dodge that bullet. But eventually that bullet's going to hit, and so we have to be ready for it.
So, again, we say, buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a wild ride. And, again, you've got to start at home, start locally, sign those petitions that come around, help, go out and volunteer.
Run for office.
Those. Pardon?
Run for office.
Run for office?
Yeah. The people in their communities, they need to be running for office.
Hey, if we have 13-year-olds and dogs that can win offices around this country, I could think a couple of good conservatives can, too.
Well, I was talking in general. We need to, call everyone to action. And if you don't like what your children are learning in school, bring them home. For now, you can still do that. Homeschool them. Or put them in a private school if you can. Put them in another school. If you're in a state where you have school choice, put them in another school. Do something. But make sure you teach them at home what they need to know. And teach them that they're being taught wrongly. And teach them the truth. And they'll hang on to that. They'll know. They'll hang on to it. But it has to be embedded in them. You have to start when they're young. Because once they're off to college, they lose everything.
Yeah.
Don't send them to college. Don't send them to those universities. Yeah. Send them to the other schools, the alternative. Don't send them there. They don't have to have that debt. Of course, it's another thing. They're wiping out that debt. That was in that article as well. They were going to wipe out the college debt. I think it was on one of those others this morning of the 11 things he was going to do right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And free school, free this, no accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people rejoiced about. It just baffles me. I was just reading here where, I don't know, I live in Maryland. Maryland House Speaker to unveil black agenda. It's all about races. She says it's time to dismantle the racist policies that by design have created a country where a net worth of a typical white family is 10 times higher than that of a black family? I mean, Beth, this is where we're at.
I'm way under par, I know that. It's just the truth.
But I mean, because if you're white, you're racist.
Yeah.
If you're conservative.
You notice it's a lot of white people telling you that.
Just a conservative white.
I mean, crying Chuck Schumer, who is all giddy today, they're the ones telling you that. Harry Reid, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi. AOC is just a big farce. I mean, because she's from a wealthy family.
Yeah.
But she'll try to make you think she grew up poor, but she didn't. She wanted this thing to erase her college debt because she hasn't bothered to pay hers yet, I guess. Her and Omar and some of them. They wanted it paid for them because they're not making enough money right now.
No. They don't have a cush income for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Well, we're not in this together, but America's in this together. But these medias that are telling you we're in this together, that's what the big word was when the pandemic hit, and these politicians were in this together. We're not. They never missed a paycheck. The rest of America did. They weren't locked up in their rooms. The rest of America was. They didn't have their life disrupted, but America did. Americans did. We're not in this together with them, but we're in this together with each other. And that's how we need to stand.
So what office are you running for, Beth?
What's that?
What office are you running for?
Well, they've been trying to talk me to run for mayor here, but I don't believe I'm going to do that.
Why not?
I got too much to do to keep this thing going with my CSC Talk Radio. I figure my voice is better there than it is here. But there are good people that could do it. I've tried to talk Rudy into doing it at my sidekick here. But are you going to run for office?
Dog catcher.
Dog catcher? Mm-hmm. That's because you like doggies.
I do. So, you know, I mean, I do support those. And it is difficult to make that big step over and so forth. And it's hard to be involved in your communities. It's, you know, we sit and say and to go out and get involved and so forth. It's, you know, we sit here and we tell, you know, suggest that people do it.
I mean, you know, I'm a little less now because my kids are all grown. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little less, I put more time into this, but I'm a little less out in the community than I was before.
And true, I mean, my business here and the radio program, but mainly my business also keeps me from, you know, the ability to do much.
But your business and your radio program is a service for the people.
As yours.
I mean, you may not be running for office, and I'm probably not going to run for office. You know, it's but what I'm doing, I think it has, I hope and pray it has more impact. Mm-hmm. And maybe I encourage others to do that. And it's a scary thing to run for office, especially when you see, you know, you see what's going on. You know, I don't want into that den of thieves or that anthill, you know. You can get eat up pretty fast.
But yeah, I probably don't have the person. Yeah, you're right.
You what?
I don't have the personality. I would get chewed up.
Yeah, I probably would too, and spit out.
I try to be nice.
But there are people who can, and they don't because they don't want to be in that den of thieves. I mean, you really don't like to hang out with people that are like they are in D.C. I don't want to hang out with Nancy Pelosi or any of them. I wouldn't want to share her ice cream.
Yeah.
I'll go get my good old Central Dairy ice cream.
But you know what, when we talk about, I mean, we talk about mayors, we mentioned this briefly yesterday, mayors are pushing for a guaranteed income in 30 cities across this country. I mean, you all can pretty much guess which cities they are. Mm-hmm. And again, it comes back to the inequities,
right,
they say, for generations. It's all the white folks' fault, and in Richmond, Virginia, there's like 18 families that have been confirmed for participation after being randomly selected from a pool, and Office of Community Wealth Building clients. I wonder who these clients are, who the city has determined suffer from a cliff effect.
Hmm.
Where the family makes too much money to qualify for federal benefits but not enough to live comfortably. Well, why don't you address the real problem? Address the real problem of taxes to where they, and inflation. And
right.
why keep them from making more money so they get the free benefits? Encourage them to make more money. Not give them a freebie, a UBI, so they don't make any more. It's the whole system is messed up, and
well,
all the
control.
Government. Yes,
it's It's all about control and dependence.
Yep.
Not freedom and independence, but control and dependence. And, when Harry Reid was still up there, and I think Obama was still president, I know he was, and Harry Reid was going on and on about that time, they wanted to increase the length of unemployment. He said, "You don't understand how many people are out of work." Well, we do. Why don't you understand why they're out of work?
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of paying them to be out of work, why don't we start getting them some jobs? Why don't we work on that?
Yep.
I mean, it's just absurd what they say. And how they manage and legislate. It's ridiculous. Spend your money. The people that are working. And anyway, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, but what happens now when people aren't working and the revenue, and I haven't seen any shortage of what the revenue has been collected and so forth since the pandemic. We were heading into recession.
Yeah.
I mean, you have
there.
The cities and states that are crying, you know, because they don't have the revenue to pay their bills.
Yeah, because they want the federal government to bail them out. Well, it's broke too, so how can they possibly bail you out? That's what New York wants.
As long as Americans keep paying those taxes, and even though there might be a shortage, at least it's enough to get them over the hump to some degree.
People that can in New York are moving out as fast as they can, and then Cuomo is going to try and hit them with some kind of lawsuit. You're going to sue them because they moved out of your state?
Yeah, how's that work?
He wants their revenue, and it's nuts. It's just absolutely nuts, and we put up with it way too long. And I don't know what's next other than the people cannot give up. If they give up, we're done.
Yep. Hey, Beth, thank you for joining me today. We're out of time. Really,
thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been wonderful. And hope you can do this again soon. And ladies and gentlemen, have a great evening. Be safe. Good night. And God bless. That's too bad.